We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Spotify Green Room. I am your host, Tyler. This episode is sponsored by Blue Wire, our beautiful podcast network. And today, this will be our first post-game live on Spotify Green Room. First Lions preseason game in the books, Lions versus Bills. Hope you guys could have joined us in the pregame show. I, unfortunately, wasn't here, but I know these boys knocked it out, and they did a phenomenal job, even though I haven't listened yet. I don't need to listen. I know they did a phenomenal job. I got my two goals, as always. Malcolm, Pierre. Malcolm, I thought you were fired, but you somehow made your way back. How you boys doing today?
First of all, I just want to let you know, hell no, you can't fire me. How you think you're going to fire me like that, man? I can't get fired on my day off. How you going to try to fire me on my day off?
You didn't even do your intro yet. Oh, no. Hold on. No. I want your intro first, and then you can speak. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, I can't do it right now because I did it earlier. So if I say
no, but you're back. So you have to do it.
You know what? You're right. You know what? Finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room.
Okay.
Even though I was just here like a few hours ago, but it's all right.
But
I'm
you're
here.
Back.
I'm back.
But you're
yes,
back.
Yes, sir. I'm back. I'm so back. Woo, let's go. Time.
You're back. All right. Well, we just had our first Lions game in the books, and I was just saying before the show started, like, that was fun, man. I mean,
it was
preseason football, but Lions football is back. NFL football is back. I mean, that was fun. Like, I know they just lost right now, and my energy doesn't seem like that's where it is right now. But I don't care right now. I'm just excited that Lions football's back, the NFL's back, football's back.
Right.
It was fun. You know, Ford Field, I mean, it didn't seem like a huge crowd, but it seemed like towards the end of the game when the Lions start to get a little bit going, it seemed like the crowd was, you know, getting behind the boys. So that was a lot of fun. I guess we start off with some takeaways from this game, maybe some things we didn't really like, some things we did like. I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. You know, first of all, just going to the first half, we had some starters out there. You know, most of the starters were out there. First-team offense, first-team offensive line, a lot of first-team defense. You know, what did you see from those guys that kind of impressed you, and who are some guys specifically that impressed you, you know, during when you saw the starters out there in the first quarter?
When I saw the starters out there, one guy that impressed me, he's not really a starter, but it's Kevin Strong. I thought he played real well. I believe he had two tackles for a loss, both on third down. Another guy that impressed me is Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver. He was really smooth. Like, he looked like Golden Tate out there.
Yeah, no, he was good. I thought Jared Goff, too. I mean, like, he's not a guy I've been super high on in this whole process since we've traded for him and, you know, even throughout camp. But, you know, I thought in those first two drives, I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular. Didn't end up scoring a touchdown in either drive, but you know, I thought Jared Goff showed some moments of being solid. Like, you know, he was getting his receivers involved. You mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown. I thought Terrell Williams had a few nice plays in there as well. And I thought something that was kind of interesting that, you know, you don't want to take too far and take with the grain of salt, I guess, a little bit. But Khalif Raymond, you know, he was working a lot with that first-team offense. And, you know, they're involving Kim a little more than I was imagining in the offense. I thought he'd be more of a special teams guy. And I still think he will be our kick returner and punt returner by the end of the day after Victor Bolden had a pretty struggling day today. But they implement him more in the offense than I imagine. And I think that was kind of interesting. And it's something I've been talking about, and, you know, this whole offseason. I'm saying that I think if the Lions are going to, you know, take this kick returner or punt returner role where they could have some versatility where the guy could be involved in the offense and special teams. So it seems like they're kind of doing that with Khalif Raymond, which I thought was pretty interesting. But, you know, he's got the burners. He's got the speed to be in the offense. So didn't have much of a, you know, role today, I would say. Like, he didn't really do much today, but he was a lot, you know, getting a lot of snaps in that first team offense, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. One thing I'll say on here, the Lions run defense had struggled, but they were without like two of their starters. They had two like backups in there. They were without Michael Brackers and Nick Williams and Deshaun Hand too. I think Deshaun Hand had a,
I mean, it wasn't a great, it's not a great run stopper, but Levi Anzarike on the defensive tackle out.
So I wouldn't be too concerned right now about the running game. We got to see like how they are with the starters out there, because they basically had two backups that probably will not play as much on game day.
Yeah. So going to you, Malcolm, now starting off with the first team offense, you know, what'd you see with, you know, Jared Goff and just the offense in general in those first two drives?
I mean, I was impressed with Jared Goff. I mean, besides that very first throw he threw that like had my heart like pumping, like, oh my God, this is, I hope this is not it. Like, he had that one throw that like it literally almost got picked off. He was trying to hit Terrell Williams, like, I guess it was like a quick hitch route, and then it just got batted down, but it looked like it was about to get picked. It was scary. Like, I looked at it, I was like, oh Lord, this can't, this is not it right now. But I mean, after that throw, he came around and he had a solid game. And just looking at him play, it just, I sat back. I was like, you know what? This guy, he can play. He's a smart quarterback, and he gets the ball where it needs to go. Like, you look at the throws, like you look at his throws, and you look at the ball. It's like, all right, it's not a tight spiral. It's not Matthew Stafford type, you know, Matthew Stafford type pass. And if you compare it, it's not fair when you look at it that way, because Matthew Stafford, the way he throws the ball, he's an elite passer. All right, the way he throws the ball is top of the league. So when you compare it to Jared Goff, it's unfair. But he gets the ball where it needs to go. Like, you, some of the ball may be a little bit wobbly, and it gets it where it needs to go. So that impressed me a lot about Jared Goff, is his decision making and getting the ball at you know, between tight windows and just getting the ball to the right person at the right time. He impressed me a lot. I'm not going to go too much into what didn't impress me, but as far as what impressed me, Jared Goff impressed me a lot.
Yeah, and another thing is, like, speaking of Jared Goff, he just said the O-line protected their nuts off. He literally just said that. The line was protecting their nuts off. On that second drive, they asked him, and he said that. The O-line at first was a little, like, kind of, like, how do I, like, rusty, but then they kind of, like, picked it up towards the end.
They did.
I thought in pass pro they were pretty good, but as far as run blocking, which is still early and Swift wasn't out there, but I thought as far as run blocking, there wasn't really many holes from the first and second team offensive line and third team. I mean, any offensive line alliance kind of throughout there today wasn't much, you know, setting holes for the running backs. It was a lot of the running backs having to, you know, create holes for themselves and, you know, making plays for themselves. So it wasn't really much setting by the offensive line in general, which, you know, like we said, or what Pierre just said right now, it's the first preseason game, a lot of rust right now, so I wouldn't be too concerned with that right now. You know, if it's going into the season like that, you know, maybe, but this was literally the first game where they've played a different competition, so I'm not going to, you know, pick on it too much, but I thought as far as something I didn't really was not too impressive with, you know, this first game was the offensive line as far as run blocking, because the run game didn't really get going until the end of the game with Craig Reynolds, who kind of put a show on to end the game for the Lions.
Yeah. Sure did. That's a guy who just got signed yesterday.
Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, yesterday.
Did they say Thursday or Wednesday?
I'm not sure.
One of those days. Well, I know he didn't practice. They say he didn't even get to practice.
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, they say he didn't get to practice. They just pretty much signed him and said, all right, here you go. Here's your helmet. Get on the damn field. And he was out there. He performed. I mean, shoot. Yeah, that guy, he's going to have a solid preseason. And I wonder if they give him a shot.
Dedrick Mills looked good too. The back before him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And again, those guys were creating for themselves. Like I said, like the offense line didn't really help them all that much. Like those guys were creating themselves. Like they were, you know, good vision. I thought, especially with Reynolds, man, like I thought his vision was great, dude. I mean, he looked like an NFL veteran at some point with those runs, man. Like, I'm not trying to get too carried away because, like, at the other side, it was a third-team defense, so on Buffalo. But, I mean, Craig Reynolds, I mean, he didn't look like some guy you just signed yesterday in the middle of or in the middle of training camp. I mean, he had some nice patient runs, good awareness, I thought, to kind of, you know, read where the holes were, and I was impressed.
Yeah, I was too, man. He had a nice one, like his first cut. Very, very nice, man. He's a solid back, man. I'm shocked that he bounced around so long, man. I wonder, you know, where he ends up in his future.
Guys want to know? So Jared Goff literally just said on Craig Reynolds, I don't know if I've met him yet. That's literally
nobody. I'm telling you, he got signed yesterday.
Now everyone knows him on the team.
Half the team don't know him. They're like, oh, who's this guy? He's here. All right, hand him the ball.
Yeah,
and they go, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you. He had, I think, three or four good, really nice runs. Like, whoa.
I thought Chris Berg had the tweet of the night, though. I'm going to read it off right here. He goes, you can't stop Craig Reynolds. You can only hope to Google who he is before he breaks into his next long run.
Yeah. What are you about to say, Pierre?
I want to talk about the linebackers because I thought that was a position that kind of like, I wouldn't say surprising, but it actually impressed me today. So the starters were fine, whatever. What impressed me the most were two linebackers. Actually, three.
55.
Number 55. 55 should be starting over 51. Or he should be playing over 51. Tavai was kind of lost today. I think the busted coverage was on him. It was on his side of the field on that touchdown.
Tavai didn't start.
No, he didn't start. I'm saying, like, Barnes should be ahead of him on the depth chart.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's just my opinion. Like, we saw more than Barnes did today than Tavai has done his entire career.
Oh, man. Yo, no lie. Like, every single time Tavai was on the field, when the play was over and the ref blew the whistle, you just see Tavai come down nowhere. Like, he's nowhere near the ball, like, when it happens, but, like, he's there a little bit too late. Like, he's just a step behind. Even with this weight loss. I don't know, man. Like,
and then,
he just not fast. He's just not fast enough.
Yeah,
he can't get there in time.
When you look at Derek Barnes, he's the exact opposite. Like, he was really good in coverage. They threw it to that one back and playing. He got him right away. And then they also had him like on a blitz call, and he got to the quarterback too. Like, he got the pressure.
You can actually see why they were so excited to get this guy.
They traded up for him. They traded up for him.
You can tell.
I think comparing the two, because I think it's fair. The Barnes pick was a Brad Holmes pick, which is, you know, obviously is a different philosophy. And Tavai was a Bob Quinn pick. And,
Bob Quinn.
It just kind of shows the philosophy and, like, who's more hip to today's NFL. Because Derek Barnes would never be a guy the previous regime would ever even touch.
No, they wouldn't have touched. He's like 230.
They would have said this guy is way too fast for our scheme. Like,
not even like, just that. It's just like the weight and like I don't know. I mean, this would probably be a guy they would even consider, or they would tell him to bulk up. And it just shows the difference of what today's NFL is. Speed is what you need in linebackers in today's day. You need guys who can go sideline to sideline. That's exactly what Derek Barnes is, man. This guy's got speed.
Yeah.
And it's impressive, too. Well. This dude, he's missed, like, practice the past couple days or whatever, been dealing with an injury, and he came out today and just balled out.
I thought the rookies had a good day, man. Like, Onderike didn't play, but I thought the guys that got drafted today, Penei Sewell starting with him, I thought he was impressive at right tackle.
Yeah, he was solid.
going on to the third round picks. Lee McNeil already drawing double teams in his first preseason game.
That is
just interesting. And it might have to do with missing some defensive tackles, but still, I mean, that's just impressive. First day.
I was gonna tell you, they also was double teaming Okwara in the second half.
Julian Okwara, so that's another guy I want to make. I think he had like five or six pressures and he had a sack. I tweeted out Julian Okwara is fucking shit up, and he literally was. He has to work on setting the edge a little, but I think that'll come with development. That's gonna take some time.
The thing with Julian, and there was some plays where I was impressed with him, but some of them was just his speed. Some of them was just pure speed. And beating a third offensive tackle on the Bills depth chart. No, it is, but like when you start to play these first team offensive tackles, you can't just get away with speed. You have to have some type of pass rush move. And I thought at some points during the game, Julian showed that, but some of those at the end of the game was just fucking pure speed. He just got right through the guy because the guy has brick feet.
Tyler, you know what's interesting? I believe it was Nick Baumgartner tweeted. I forgot who tweeted it, but it said last year he played like 69 snaps, and today he already played like a little more than 50 snaps.
He played a lot today, man. He played it felt like those whole game outside the first quarter.
No, he needed that, bro. He needed it because he didn't really play last year. He's raw, so he needed his playing time. It's going to help his development a lot.
I'll go ahead.
I was just going to just bring up something real quick because it's something I noticed what the first team defense were doing. We didn't get to see that first team defense running out of the 3-4. It looked like they were playing a lot of the 5-2 defense with the five linemen and the two linebackers. We didn't get to see much of Trey Flowers, the stand up Trey Flowers or the stand up Romeo Okwara. I think that's something that we're probably going to see later on because in the second half, they went towards more the 3-4. And that's when you start seeing more of the pressures and them stopping the run. So I'm not sure if they were just trying to be very vanilla.
It was vanilla mostly.
And because the first unit, they didn't switch their formation. They was in that 5-2 pretty much the whole time.
It was like a lot of vanilla stuff. I mean, they played a lot of two-man, which we expected in coverage too. A lot of split safety looks. We set that.
Not a lot of man coverage early on in the game.
We saw a lot of cover one, which is finally.
We saw that more towards the end of the game. They went to a little more man coverage where, it lost them the game.
What the hell happened in that play? We're playing two man? Like, were there supposed to be somebody on top?
I don't know. I mean, it was.
They're playing two safeties deep.
Which play?
The Bobby Price play, the fourth and ten. Burnt toes.
I don't remember.
I got to go back and look back at that play. I'm not sure. I think they were in two, man. I'm not sure if the safety was asleep. I'm not sure if he had help over the top, but what were they thinking with that play?
I mean, that was the game right there. That was a fourth and 10 play for the game right there. I just don't understand that one.
There's no way fourth and 10 they're playing cover one. That's just dumb.
No, that's just, that'd be, and they, especially
they had
on
to be playing
20?
Two, man. They had to be playing two, man. So that's two safeties deep. So where was the help over the top? Where was the safety?
So I think the safeties were Jillian Elliott and I think Holder, right? Those were the third team safeties.
I know Elliott was on the field, the other one was.
Where do you look at the fans? Like, what happened?
I have to go back and watch that play. I don't know what they called.
It was weird, though, man, because you just see Bobby Price on island and then he completes, what, like a 30, 40-yard pass?
Anonymous is in the chat room saying that they were testing. They did that purposely to test the DB skills, put them all on the island. But put them all on the island on fourth and what was the nah. fourth and what fourth?
It was fourth and ten. Fourth and or fourth and ten. Yeah, it was a fourth down. Yeah, fourth and long. So
that's bad.
I don't know. I know it's a preseason game, but
it is a preseason game.
I know it's a preseason game, but
yeah, I do too.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bobby Price is not even a corner.
Yeah, he's a safety. He's the guy that got, that wasn't him. I always think it's Bobby Price. I think it was Alexander Myers that got thrown from Derrick Henry. I always mix him up.
Yeah, Bobby Price is a safety. Why is he on an island? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a weird play in general.
Was a weird play, but it doesn't matter. It is what it is, man. I got to see what I saw, and I'm impressed. I'll say that.
Okay, I want to go to quarterbacks. We talked about Jared Goff already. I want to talk about the backup quarterback competition that we have going on right now between Tim Boyle and David Blau. I'll start off with you, Malcolm. Did you see anything that, were you impressed with either guy that maybe think has a step on either guy right now, or is it just head-to-head right now?
As far as like a step on, you could tell that the coaching staff and in general there, they like Tim Boyle more than Blau. Can you get to tell by the playing time? Now, David Blau, he looks like a smart quarterback, but his arm strength to me just is not there, man. Like you saw that the play that he almost threw the pick, even though it was they called it back. His arm is just weak, is not there for me. So I honestly give the edge to Tim Boyle. Over Blau.
I didn't really see much out of Tim Boyle today. Like, I didn't think he made the most impressive passes. I thought in his first drive, I believe, when he targeted Victor Bolden, had, I think, two bad drops in that drive, which made the drive a lot shorter than it should have been. The first down was a bit high from Boyle, but I still think Bolden could have came down with that. And then the third down play, I thought Bolden for sure should have caught that one by Boyle.
They were tearing his ass up. I felt so bad for Tim Boyle. It's like every play was roughing the passer.
Dude, I mean, that Lions, I don't know, was that second team or third team offensive line? I don't think it's the second team.
Second, probably the mixture of second and third team, but yeah, whatever it is, man, they were getting that kid killed.
Those tackles were terrible.
Terrible.
Why is Dan Skipper still on this football team?
How long he's been on this football team? He's been on the team for like 4 years, right?
Well, he was off. He went to the Patriots for a little bit, and then he came back last
year. They brought him back?
They brought him back.
And why?
He's still here.
Why?
I don't understand. Like, I've never seen anything out of Dan Skipper. I don't understand why he keeps landing on this team every year.
How did he come back?
I thought we were done with him a couple years ago when he went to the Patriots. I'm like, okay, we're done with Dan Skipper. We're not going to see this guy anymore. But then he comes back.
That's crazy. I thought for some reason maybe he was like on a practice squad or something and then he's back on the roster. I didn't know they cut him, got rid of him, and now he's back.
Well, yeah.
I don't see a good reason to bring him back. That guy is terrible.
So, yeah, they sent him to the practice squad last year again.
Pierre, what do you think about the backup quarterbacks? Who do you think have the edge?
Right now, I would have to – I mean, I don't know. No one really separated themselves today, but I was impressed with Tim Boyle's toughness. Like, he got hit, he came back up. He got hit, he came back up. He got hit, he came back up. He has a nice arm.
He does.
Accuracy is a little of an issue with
shaky.
Him.
Yeah.
And David Blau is kind of like the opposite. David Blau is more like not of a strong, not as strong of an arm, but he's more like a
good accuracy.
Like solid accuracy, yeah. So
he does.
He threw a dime to Javon McKinley in the biggest play of the game, I think. Outside of Kirk Reynolds run.
Yeah. I'll say this. If something happens to Goff and one of those guys had to come in, I'll be scared.
Yeah, I would too. I mean,
I don't feel confident in any of those guys stepping in and winning you a football game. We saw Blau. You know, he couldn't win a damn game when Stafford went out. But you know, that's a different regime. So, I mean, I think it'll be the same thing. I don't think Blau wins you a game. Tim Boyle, he has that nice arm, man, but I think he fucks it up, and I think you'll still lose that game. I don't trust any of these guys.
It's just hard to critique Tim Boyle because it seems like he just has zero time in the pocket to do anything he wanted to.
He's getting killed.
So I thought it was tough to critique Boyle today because I feel like every single second he snapped the ball, there was a pass rusher just in the backfield right to sack him. And like you mentioned, roughing the passer.
Like,
there was a lot of penalties, right. And it wasn't on the Lions.
For once.
Yes. It was weird. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of penalties, like a lot of personal fouls, but on the other side. So
yeah, Tim Boyle, I guarantee you, after this game, that man is going straight and he's gonna get an ice bath. He was like, man, I need ice bath. I'm hurt. He's hurting all over.
Sure. I'm telling you, man.
I don't know how many times he got hit.
And it wasn't on Boyle. It wasn't like Boyle holding on to the ball too long. It was that he had zero time to throw the ball.
Yeah.
It was Dan Skipper and that kid from Utah. I forgot his name. Started with a P. What's his name? Paulo? Yeah, Paulo. I don't know who the hell he is. Some kid from
Darren Utah. Paulo.
Paulo, yeah. Paulo and I know Dan
Skipper. The tackle.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. And they were terrible. And I wasn't a very big fan of Logan Stenberg today either at guard. I wasn't.
No,
really
but I'll say this.
Him.
I'll say this about Stenberg. He was the best second team offensive lineman. He had a couple good runs. That doesn't say much. The best in pass pro.
He was the best.
Like he has a chance to make the team. He was solid today.
I thought he had one good block on a run. I believe it was Mills in the game. I remember he had a nice block. But other than that, I wasn't all that impressed with Stenberg.
There was a play in pass pro where like all the linemen got beat except him.
Yeah, I mean that's like Matt Nelson struggled today.
Well, they played Matt Guard, didn't they today?
Yeah, they've been playing Matt.
So I guess they're experimenting with that just to see if you can play guard.
I don't know, man. I think we need another tackle because those tackles are bad.
We got Crosby, man, but Crosby just didn't play.
He didn't.
I'd say keep an eye on the waiver wire because tackles, like good tackles, aren't normally available. It's very rare.
I mean, Dan Skipper. I'm just sick of number 70. I can't watch Dan Skipper anymore. I can't watch him.
Yeah, he's not.
He's been here too long, man. We gave him many opportunities to try to prove himself. He is what he is.
Yeah, I don't know how he ended up back here.
Like Dan Skipper is what he is. He's a practice squad body. That's all he is. Like, I'd rather give a shot to someone else and see what we got. Not saying we'll find some hidden gem, but I'd rather take the chance of trying to find a hidden gem than keep trying this Dan Skipper experiment.
There is some news right now. Dan Campbell said they dismissed their trainer, Dave Granito. He was hired in 2019 by the previous team. He said players receiving proper treatment, but the communication issues weren't like all that, and the club wanted to go a different direction. So he just fired a trainer.
Fired him right after this game?
I don't think they fired him today. I think they fired him like the other day, but they recently just fired a trainer.
Damn. I mean, I thought overall, as far as the health game, Lions didn't have really many injuries in this game. You know, they were pretty much healthy. I know their center went out, not Ragnar, obviously. Was it Brown or was it him? I forgot which one it was, but one of those, you know, centers competing in camp
got hurt. Evan Bain.
I know one of the centers went down, but other than that, I know Jerry Jacobs went in the locker room for a little bit, but I believe he came back. So not too many injuries as far as the week one Lions preseason game. So that's a good sign.
I want to bring up another thing. We've talked about the offense and defense. I want to bring up special teams. I thought Jack Fox was in midseason form other than his first punt. Like he was bombing stuff. Jalen Reeves Maven. I mean, he's just a dog on special teams. And then Randy Bullock, it looks like right now he's out of Gonzalez because Gonzalez didn't really attempt to kick. Bullock was three for three.
Yeah.
But he didn't really, like, kick field goal. I think that was, like, over, like, 30 yards. I don't think he had one that was, like, that long.
You have no real tests.
Maybe Gonzalez might kick the next game. I don't know how they're doing this competition, but right now Bullock is the favorite.
Yeah.
Anything under 30. I mean, I heard, you know, he's pretty accurate with.
He got the job done today, so he got no complaints about that.
I want to see him 45 plus.
Yeah, he didn't get tested today for that's one when, of those.
That's when I'll build more confidence in him because, I mean, maybe the indoors, maybe he's much better indoors. I don't know.
No, that's where he struggled indoors last time when they played that Ford Field family game.
Well, I know that he used to play for the Bengals, and I know he lost his job there.
Yeah.
So I was hoping maybe indoors he's better, but yeah, I heard at the Ford Field family FFFFF game. I heard that he was complete ass cheeks there. He's kicking everything the wrong direction.
I just remember Randy Bullock. This is a bad moment of Randy Bullock, but I remember it was week two or week one last year when they were playing the Chargers. And Randy Bullock.
How do you remember this?
Randy Bullock, he had a 30-yard field goal for the game, and he just completely misses it and like, starts grabbing his like, I don't know where he grabbed his leg, his hamstring.
But oh, that's when he got hurt? Is that when he got hurt?
He got hurt, yeah. Like, he pulled something, dude, like right before he kicked the ball.
That was him. Tyler, I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember that game. I was laughing.
Yeah, it was him. I remember.
It was a game winner. It was a game winner. He
would have won, yeah. He would have won.
He completely destroyed that kick.
Tyrod
destroyed whatever he had going on with his leg.
Tyrod Taylor got the win for the Chargers that week for them. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, we didn't get to see much of the kicking competition in this game. Overall, some other competitions. A corner we got to see a little bit. Not a guy that we expect to have a big role this year, but one of our rookies, Fatu Melifonwu. I thought he made a couple nice plays in man coverage today, too. You know, he played a lot of the game. You know, I thought in the first half he made a nice play on the sideline. Overall, pretty solid game for him, I thought. And I think, you know, overall the expectation is just to be a developmental year for him. And then another corner I was impressed with in this game was Mike Ford. Played both nickel and the outside. I thought he was impressive in both spots today, showing his versatility at both spots.
Inside and out, yo.
And, you know, we didn't mention this, but Quinn Dunbar was one of the guys who released yesterday. So, you know, I think it's just more confidence in Mike Ford and then just the guys that kind of got going right now in this room, you know, this Lions cornerback room right now. So, you know, good day for them.
Right. Yeah, it was a solid day for the corners. I think they played well.
Except to see if we covered that.
Fucking Bobby Price. I don't know what the hell that was.
Well, he's more of a safety. I guess they're talking about that corner.
Yeah, I know, but shit.
One knock, too, outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown and a couple nice plays from Terrell Williams. I want to see one of these young receivers step up, like one of these UDFAs, but I just didn't really see much, man. None of them really stepped up. It.
We saw Kenny a little, but like nothing too crazy. He's just like looks like he's a security blanket for like the backup QB. They like going to him.
TK is TK, man. I've been saying that for a while. TK is TK.
And like,
but I'm shocked that Sage Surratt didn't get much playing time. He played like you saw him in a goal line in situations, but I didn't see him much like on the field.
Victor Bolden was very disappointing today too.
I thought McKinley was the best out of the undrafted guys.
Made a nice play today.
He played well. Yeah, he played really well today.
Made a nice play.
Like I had a Sage and Geronimo.
Sage didn't really play.
Pretty quiet.
Gmo didn't really do much. Yeah,
he had a couple catches, but that was about it. But Sage, I think he got a donut. Don't think Sage Rock got anything today.
He got that target.
Well, they threw him a pass.
They threw him two passes in the goal line.
Yeah,
if Boyle threw that a little higher, it's probably a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a bad pass by Boyle.
Was it Boyle or Blau? Yeah.
That was Boyle.
That was Boyle who threw that.
What about the one at the end of the game?
Like the...
Okay, maybe it was Boyle. I thought it was Blau.
Towards the end, it was Blau, though.
Like, yeah.
I'm thinking he had two catches. I'm thinking the one towards the end of the game. That was Blau.
Yeah, he had two throws in the goal line. One was like that almost crazy grab, like behind the receiver back. That was Tim Boyle.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. But none of these guys really stepped up and, you know, to kind of put themselves in the conversation to make this roster right now. And that was a bit disappointing. They still got two more games in the rest of this camp to kind of do that. But I was hoping that we could maybe see a little bit more of that. Victor Bolden, like I said, he was just disappointing all over today, man. Special teams, as far as the, you know, playing receiver, just wasn't a sharp game for him as well.
Yeah.
He He didn't increase his chances to jump up in his roster with that performance, I can tell you that.
So I would say the biggest concerns for me right now are offensive line depth. I would say that's one of them. Backup quarterback is another one. And the receiving position is still a big concern for me because no one stepped up today. I thought Terrell Williams made a nice couple of plays. I thought the starters were good.
Terrell Williams was good.
I thought the starters were good, like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I thought Terrell Williams were good, but other than that, no one really stood out to me.
We still haven't seen Cephas.
We haven't seen Cephas.
We haven't seen Perriman.
Yeah, we didn't really see Perriman. And Khalif Raymond didn't really have much of an impact on offense.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think they kept it very vanilla. I think on both sides of the ball. For the first team, like you could see them getting more loose with the second and third team. They were throwing more blitzes. They're in the 3-4 formation and trying to confuse the offense. So they were throwing more stuff with the second and third unit. But that first unit, you could just tell that
they weren't
playing.
My concern, like my biggest concern right now, is probably tight end 3. Alize Mack got the start for Hockenson because Hockenson was like out. And he was awful.
Yeah, he wasn't good. him and Brock Wright, man, they didn't really have really good games.
Yeah, both they need a tight end. The Lions need another tight end, and I just don't know how they're going to find that right now. Maybe work out some guys.
I mean, you have two really good tight ends. I mean, do you really need a good...
Yeah, you need a solid third.
Yeah. I mean, we should just be happy that we got two really good tight ends.
We do.
A lot of teams have, some teams barely have one good tight end. We have two.
I think the RB3 room is really interesting though right now. I think that's going to come down to a fight, man. They have so many bodies at that position. So, it's going to be interesting. I mean, Jamar Jefferson, he's been the story in camp, but, didn't really – do much today. I would say had a nice play in pass protection on third down, I believe.
Yes,
but
he did.
As far as running the ball, they didn't really run the ball really well. And again, I think that's a knock on the offensive line for not really setting up with the good holes. But none of these running backs, like I mentioned, had good opportunities to have good runs. It was all guys making opportunities for themselves. And some of those guys did make an opportunity for themselves. Guys like Mills and guys like Reynolds, they made plays for themselves. So even with a bad offensive line, not setting up holes for them. So it's going to be interesting. I still think Jamar Jefferson's the favorite to win the job, but I don't think he's a clear-cut, lock to make this team by any means. I think he's got a lot of competition behind him.
I think when you look at the backs, I was concerned about the depth going into the game. But what I saw today actually impressed me. I was impressed with Mills. Reynolds balled out today. Jamar Jefferson's actually coming off an injury too, so... I didn't think he was going to play today, to be honest. Yeah, he played. So I was impressed with the backs. I thought that was one of our weaknesses. It's actually a strength.
Yeah. All right.
And who knows what they look like when they get Swift back there.
All right.
By the way, with Swift, there was an update on Swift. Campbell said, he's fine. If it was, a regular season game, he probably would have played.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, I would assume there's that. Yeah. All right, Pierre. So this was the first Lions game in the books, and – I know it's pretty soon, but I'm still going to bring this segment back. Oopsie doopsie and baller of the week. We have to bring one up for this game.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to start off with you. Who was your baller of the week for this game?
All right. Let me just pull up his stats. I know who it is, but I got to find his stats real fast.
I'm going to take a hint, and his name probably starts with J-O, or his initials, I should say.
No, it's not him, but the baller of the week is actually Greg Reynolds. The offense wasn't doing much. This guy comes in. And he brings life to the offense. He had 6 carries for 49 yards, and those 49 yards were pretty much all by himself. The O-line did not help him. And he had a touchdown. And on defense, I'll give a cold baller of the week. Defensively, it was Julian Okwara. I believe he had 5 or 6 pressures. He had a sack. And he was just fucking shit up.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't give an honorary mention to Kevin Strong. I thought you were actually going to give it to him.
I can't give everyone an honorary mention, man. You know,
I thought he might have just won it in general. Kevin Strong. I mean, I thought he was great tonight, man. He was fun.
Kevin Strong. Some honorable mentions are Kevin Strong, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derek Barnes, Jack Fox. So there you go.
I think Jack Fox won your Baller of the Year last year. So He's back in the conversation.
I believe he did.
He did.
So
yeah, we have a lot of players that played good, man.
Who's your oopsie doopsie of the week?
Oopsie doopsie of the week. So
there I'm gonna can go only back. Be one.
I think I'm gonna go to the guy that won the award last year.
There can only be one.
And we talked about him earlier in the show, where he probably should be demoted in his position. And I'm getting sick of picking on this guy, but I think it's Lonnie Tavai, man. I mean, everything that was going on the side of his ball, I don't know if it was his fault in general or if it was, like, miscommunication. I don't know what it was, but everything that was happening on his side of the ball, he was taking some bad angles. I think it has to be Lonnie Tavai because no one really, you know, stood out to me about having a really bad performance, you know, in this game. I don't really have one guy I'm singling out. And I'm not even trying to single out Jelani Tavai. I just think if I had to single out somebody, I think it would be Tavai. If I could give an oopsie doopsie to a group, it'd be the receivers because I was just not impressed with after the Amon-Ra St. Brown and Terrell Williams.
For me, it
so
would
if I
be
give
like,
a whole unit.
I would say,
oh, the offensive know, line. Receivers? I forgot. Oh, hold on. I actually forgot about Dan Skipper. I forgot about him.
We had some solid performances on the offense on the receiving core. You know, TK played well.
I don't know, man. Just none of those guys like it's looking to me as NFL. They just don't look like NFL receivers to me.
Those guys are gonna be practice players, practice squad.
But
those guys are gonna be practice squad.
I forgot about that offensive line. Yeah, how did I forget
yeah,
about
what
that?
Are you thinking?
I honestly could I change it? I don't think it's Tavai anymore. I'm giving it to the offensive tackles after Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker. The guy from Utah and Dan Skipper. You guys are the oopsie doopsie of the week.
Oh, Paolo, Darren Paolo.
That was pretty bad.
Paolo, yeah, Paolo.
Damn. Okay.
But Tavai was equally bad. Tavai was equally bad.
Tavai wasn't good, yes.
It was like they knew he was on the field, and it was like, all right, we're going to run a misdirection his side on his play action, and we know that he's not going to be fast enough to chase after this guy who's running that way. So let's just run it over and over.
I think Tavai lost his job today or lost his spot on the depth chart to Derek Barnes today. I really do.
He should. I mean, Derek Barnes is the better football player. This is what it is. I mean, I'm sorry, but Tavai, this is going to go down as another failed Bob Quinn failed second round draft pick. This
might be the worst one, honestly. Like I know Tease Taper was in this conversation as well, but I think as far as the guy that got fair opportunity and like injury wasn't the problem with this guy. I think it might just be Jelani Tavai as a football player.
Dude, it's both of them.
No, I still go Tavai.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Do you guys want to bring up – are we running out of time, Tyler, or do we have some time?
So I don't know what time
I mean,
we're exactly,
we have a total of three pods here.
So I don't know what time we're exactly at. I feel like we're at the 50-minute mark, so I feel like we probably should just end it here.
Yeah, okay, we don't have time.
Do you want to bring some people up and hear their thoughts real quick, or you want
to... Yeah, well, okay.
You can bring up a couple, yeah.
Yeah, let's just do a few. Anybody want to come up to share your thoughts on this game? Oh, Nate.
There
Nate,
we go.
Big Nate.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Welcome back, Nate.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I almost had a heart attack that first play. I thought that it was deja vu all over again with the Lions quarterback, man. So I'm glad the guy dropped the ball.
Me and you both.
Real quick, I just want to give a couple of observations that I think are going to be our biggest concerns this season. I feel that if this team gets down like in third and long in a lot of situations, we're going to be screwed because we don't have playmakers that separate as good as some other teams do. And I think that, you know, O-line can only protect for so long, and if we get into those third and long situations, it's going to be really hard to get out of them. I mean, Stafford was able to do stuff that I don't think Goff can do. What do y'all think about that?
Regarding the separating, I thought Amon Ross St. Brown was really good today. And J.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift didn't play. And they'll be like a big part of the passing game, I think. So, but I do agree with you.
They didn't use Jamal in the passing at all.
I do agree, though. Like, when you look at the passing game, it's not as strong versus Stafford. Stafford just has a stronger arm. He takes more shots down the field. Yeah, like we can't compare him to Stafford. They're two different quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah, two different style of quarterbacks.
He just got better instincts, I feel, that more like Goff just wants to sit in the pocket and throw. Stafford.
Well, I thought Goff today moved well inside of the pocket. When there was pressure, he got out the pocket. So I thought he was solid today in that regard.
I think he showed a lot of people that he can move around, because that was a big knock on him coming in, saying, he had brick feet. He can't scramble. So he showed today that he could move around. So that was a positive.
You want to see a little more throws down the field with him?
Yes.
Maybe that'll improve. Maybe the chemistry just isn't there with the wide receivers yet. Maybe they'll improve like over the year. We'll see.
Yeah.
Over the years, I don't know if he is going to over the years.
No, like over the season, like during the season, chemistry.
Over the year.
Yeah, we're going to be predictable if we just dink and dunk all games. So I hope that they really do stretch that field for sure. My concern on defense is the run. Early on against our first guys, we were getting gashed. Do you think it was more because we weren't having our best interior guys inside, or do you think this could be a serious problem even with those interior guys?
Nathan, you had a rookie, Nalim McNeil, there, and you had two third stringers in there, Kevin Strong and Sean Cornell. So okay. I don't know. Like, obviously, Nick Williams and Michael Brackers weren't in there. They're two starters right now. And Brackers is like a good run defender. Mm-hmm. So I'm not as worried about that right now. We'll see.
But I do think it could be a problem down the line.
It could be a problem, right? Yeah.
Because where was our linebackers? I'm sorry.
Finish that off, Tyler.
I was just saying. I think it could be a problem because it shows that our depth is not great if a guy or two goes down.
Right.
So yeah. I think it could be a problem, and you know they were getting gas. It wasn't they were getting big plays, man. Every run it seems like
the draws. I mean. The draws destroyed them.
Well, me personally, looking at that first unit, again, like I said earlier, probably the first time before we got cut off, Pierre, they were very vanilla. Like, they were running a 5-2 defense that whole time with that first unit. And then towards the second and third unit, you saw them running that 3-4, and you saw them being more aggressive, sending blitzes, better at stopping the run. So I'm not sure if they were showing a different look. But them running a 5-2 wasn't their best look, because the first unit, their draw plays were just killing them up in the middle.
Right. I would also say, too, what really was annoying me the whole game was the rollouts with the quarterbacks. Like, they kept faking out the Lions linebackers or whoever, because there were so many guys flanking out wide open. And then you notice the adjustment was they put in freaking Barnes, and Barnes actually made that play where he sniffed it out and said, enough of that stuff. But I also think that could be a concern, too, with these linebackers, because I wasn't really impressed with Anzalone or Collins. I didn't even hear them the whole game. I mean, it's a good thing.
I thought Collins. Collins had, like, a bad play in a run game.
Yeah.
It was, like, in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, again, I think it's that 5-2 defense. I'm not sure if that's their strength. I'm not even sure why they ran it the whole time, but they struggled when they were in that formation, stopping the run. I mean, they had a couple good plays with Kevin Strong where he kind of blew it up.
Oh, but
that was about it, man.
Hey, Jesus, all right. Changing things up. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. We have another speaker actually want to come up. So we'll end off with Leo, and then we'll end the show. Leo, what's up?
What's up, Leo?
Yo, what up, fellas?
What's up, Leo?
Hey, pretty cool, huh? We're back in business.
Yes, we are, man. Yes, we are, man. I see you're excited, man. So you don't even worry about the score. You're just happy the Lions is back. Well, what's your take on the game, man?
Oh, man. I just want to sit there and say, well, let's start with the offense first. So I think with the offense, like, especially let's just kind of ignore the starters, because I thought that was super, super vanilla. But once they started putting in the backups, like, they started changing up, like, their blocking schemes. They went to, like, more of, like, zone blocking.
Exactly.
Versus when the starters were in, they were doing like a lot of man blocking. It almost looked like they opened up with like almost like this power eye type of deal. Yep. And when you it was just very, very vanilla. So but I think when you start looking at that second half of the game, like that, and those holes were just huge, right? And Reynolds was just running through those holes. So that kind of stuff gets me really, really, really excited. Because I think that that's going to be the heart and soul of the offense, obviously. And then, as far as Goff, like, I mean, I don't think he did anything that we didn't expect, right? Like, we don't expect him to sit there and be this dude that's, you know, throwing it, you know, 60, 70 yards, right, you know what I mean, down the field. But, I mean, I think we just we got what we pretty much expected, you know? I don't know.
He was a quarterback that played well. I think he played well.
He did. You know, I mean, it is what it is, you know? He didn't play bad or anything like that, you know?
He was solid.
You know, it's just it is a downgrade, bro. It's just a downgrade.
It's hard.
We're spoiled with Stafford. We're spoiled with Stafford.
That's what it is. Looking at Stafford. You've seen Stafford. You've seen Stafford's rocket arm. You see Stafford's spirals, and then now we don't have that no more. You see another guy come in. There is no tight spirals.
Right.
So you're like, shit, here we go. But the thing is with golf, the ball is getting there. Like, he actually had a throw. He threw it between a tight coverage. I think he hit
Tyrell.
Fells.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, he knows where to get the ball. You don't have to have that rocket arm to, because we've seen guys over time. You know, Peyton Manning never had a rocket arm. Drew Brees never had a rocket arm. Now, I'm not comparing Jared Goff to those guys. I'm just saying.
I was gonna say
they just knew. I'm not doing it. Okay, I'm not comparing it, but I'm just saying that if you just know where to put the ball, you can have success.
Right.
That's what those guys did, and that's what he did. He put the ball where the ball needed to go, and he looked fine.
You know, and to kind of further that point a little bit with his receivers. You know, especially on those out routes, Fells. I think he hit Tyrell Williams in the turkey hole. Amon Ra, you know, a couple of those timing routes. So, I feel like the receivers that we do have, plus him, you know, hitting those timing routes, I think they're going to work with each other, and including the run game. And I think that there's going to be some shots. Now, There is one play I will sit there and say that I would love to sit there and go back and see is when they were in the red zone and they had that spread formation. They had three receivers on one side and I believe two. And Tyrell Williams, I think, had this over route. And they were trying to hit this window in the back of the end zone. And he just
But the DB knocked it.
But that was
the Levi Wallace.
That was a very good
play by the DB.
Yeah, that was a good play by the DB.
No, I thought he held him. That's just me, though.
Well, he made a play, but that play was the play design on that, and I thought that at the position of where they were in the field, like it was. I mean, that really intrigued me. For one, I knew what they were trying to work for the window, and Goff knew exactly where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
So that's very intriguing. Golf. That's very intriguing to me. So that's something to sit there and kind of look at later on and stuff.
That was a nice play call. Another thing that impressed me during this game, the Lions have had trouble converting on the third and ones, and today they converted on those third and ones.
Right.
Like those all third and one runs.
I think all except one. And that was, I think it was the one to end of the second half.
Yeah.
I don't think they converted that one.
I don't think
they did a good job.
Who was it that was – it was a third and one? Maybe it was a third and one or maybe a fourth and one. And it just seemed like it was just a pile in the middle of the field, and then he broke. And if it wasn't because he ran into his man downfield, like, he would have been gone for a touchdown.
I think that was Derek Mills. I think that was Mills.
Yeah, Patrick, man.
Mills. Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't know.
Yeah, man. I think we got depth at the running back position, and that's really nice to sit there and kind of see too. So that's just on the offensive side. Maybe we'll chat it up. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time, but yeah, man. Those are just some highlights that off the top of my head that
all right.
Really exciting.
You made some interesting, very very interesting points, man. Especially about the offense being vanilla, and I saw the defense being very very vanilla as well. So that's why I'm excited, man. Because I think we have something here.
Yeah. All right.
They won't show much. I want to bring up one more point, guys. Regarding Dan Campbell, I loved how aggressive he was. He went for it on fourth down. He didn't want to go to overtime in like a preseason game.
Well, there's no
overtime. So, he don't want to tie. No one likes ties. So he went for it too. They didn't get it, but just like the aggressive mindset, we didn't really have that with the previous staff. So I love the aggressive mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine. yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, overall, just excited. Football's back. I thought it was a solid debut for Dan Campbell, I guess. I mean, I think it was kind of what we expected. Like, they didn't really show their cards today. I don't think they showed what we're going to see in the regular season. I really don't. I think week one versus the Niners is when Campbell shows his cards, because the broadcast mentioned it multiple times, and we've been saying this all offseason, where we don't know what to expect as far as this team, because there's so many new things. Like Anthony Lynn, he's a veteran at this because he was a former head coach and he's been a running backs coach. But other than that, a lot of these guys are new, man. Like Aaron Glenn, this is a first-time defensive coordinator. Mark Brunell, first-time quarterbacks coach. Dan Campbell, first-time full-time head coach.
Right.
Like, there's just so many new things, and they're not going to show all their cards or even a little bit of their cards in this game, in a preseason game versus the Bills. I think they're waiting for week one, because they mentioned, like I said in the broadcast, that there's just not film on these guys because this was their first game ever. This is the first thing we've ever seen out of this coaching staff. So I think it's going to be a complete shakeup, you know, come week one when we play the Niners. I think, you know, that's when Campbell's going to open, you know, Campbell's going to tell him to open up the book a little bit more with, you know, Anthony Lynn on the offensive side and Aaron Glenn on the defensive side. I think that's when they'll open up the playbook a little bit more, and we'll see a little bit more, obviously.
And that's when you game plan too. Like, they don't really game plan for preseason.
No, you're not game plan. It's a script. It's literally a script. You're going to follow this script. Right. The win or loss doesn't matter.
Now, before we end the show, guys, just based off today's performance, do you think Jelani Tavai's job is in jeopardy?
Yes.
Was that a two yeses or did it echo? Or?
That's two yeses.
Yes and yes. Yes and yes.
I mean, you might have heard more yeses than I think, and that's still the answer.
It sounded like yes.
so it sounded like multiple people saying yes.
It sounded like an echo. Well, that's why wait a minute.
I think because we're so close to Detroit, maybe all Ford Field heard that question. They're all answering that for us.
So Jelani Tavai is not safe. Shit, he needs to get his shit together.
I mean, he's had to get his shit together for a while.
No, I just think I don't think he fits the scheme, if I'm being honest. Like, he doesn't have the speed. He's like lost in coverage. He got stiff-armed by a running back. Do you guys remember that play?
Pierre said something in the chat while the game was going on that made me laugh. He said, "Send his ass to the moon."
With that, let's end the show.
Well,
he said that.
Guys, that means basically, that basically means cut him. Okay, I don't literally mean send his ass.
Yeah, no, he meant like he needs to be signed to the team that's on the moon. Like he can't
send him to NASA.
All right, he can't play on this planet no more. Send him somewhere else.
All right, guys. Well, hope you guys enjoyed. This is our first time doing a live post-game show on Spotify Green Room. The plan is for the rest of the season is to do these Spotify Green Rooms before and after the game, as long as with these preseason games as well. So we have the Steelers next week, and then we close out with the Colts, and then we have week one versus the Niners. So the plan is all regular season, all preseason, pre-post-game. It's going to be these Spotify Green Rooms, and then along with the actual episodes. So I think especially during the regular season, you know, I don't think we're going to do a post-game video for the our post-game podcast for a preseason game, but I think once we get into the regular season, I think we'll wait the next day as well, like the Monday, record on Monday night of, like, you know, when our thoughts are more synced in and, you know, we could go back and watch more stuff. We're like today, you know, we're kind of just like going back of, you know, what we thought on our head, you know, on top of our head. A day kind of gives us to process everything, and, you know, we'll do that during the regular season. We're not going to do that for preseason games. So hope you guys like the new setup. And with that being said, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the hell you guys are listening. It's always much appreciated. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I'm...
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family.
Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.